there for the message today. And, of course, I'll have scriptures on each one of those points. But I want you to turn to John chapter 14 this morning. We're still in this series on the book of Acts. And I'm going to be talking today and next Sunday for Father's Day about the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. There's the Father, the Son, which is Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to kind of introduce it today. These are two standalone messages. And the title of today's message is The Holy Spirit is God. And then next Sunday, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit is a person on Father's Day. And this goes with this message in the book of Acts. There's one portion. I want you to turn to John chapter 14 and Acts chapter 5, because there's one story we're going to read in Acts chapter 5 today. But this teaching is mainly coming from a book. And I mean, I'm coming from the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is where it really introduces the Holy Spirit to the church, which is us. And we can't do church without the Holy Spirit. Some churches do. I don't want to. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking at the book of Acts, but also there's another book by Pastor Robert Morris that I've been telling you all to get. You can download this on Amazon. It's a great book, or you can order it on Amazon. It's The God I Never Knew. And Pastor Robert, just a little bit of background on him, he was a Southern Baptist pastor who got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then so he went back and wrote a book about the God I Never Knew, which is talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, I always grew up hearing about the Father and the Son, but I never heard about the Holy Spirit, even in church. And so that's the title of the book, and that's the whole gist of the whole book. And I use some of his examples, and I'm going to have some of his stories in today's message as well. But we're going to start in John chapter 14 today, and this is where Jesus, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, some theologians say it was it's anywhere from 12 to 15 hours before Jesus died on the cross. And he's with his disciples in an upper room, not the upper room at Pentecost, but another upper room. And he's telling them that he's got to go away. He's also telling them, you know, about the cross. They didn't understand any of this stuff that he was telling them at that time. They wanted him to stay and overthrow Rome, okay? And he's telling them, no, my kingdom is another kingdom. You have no idea what it's about, but I got to go away, and I'm going to send somebody to help you. And he was talking about, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to go home and read. I'm going to take highlights out of John 14, 15, and 16, but go home and read John 14 through chapter 16 this week. It'll really help you. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to his disciples, okay? And we're going to read some of these, and I'm going to comment on this. All right, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, I will pray the Father. And when I first read that, I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I will pray the Father. I would say, you know, if I was going to translate this, I would say, I will pray to the Father. But the reason why it's translated like that, really in that word pray, you can put ask. I will ask the Father, okay? That's another way to translate it. I wish they had translated it like that. But I will ask the Father, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say helper. That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Everybody say the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells, so the Lord, God, by the Holy Spirit, he is with you and he is in you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's good news. Okay, the next scripture, John chapter 14, verses 25 through 26, so we're going to jump down a little bit. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, we're going to see Helper mentioned four times. That's what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the Helper. In verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Okay? because they weren't understanding what was going on, and there was still more that Jesus wanted to teach them. But he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come, he's going to teach you all things, and he's even going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've already have taught you. Okay, we're going to jump over to John chapter 15, verse 26. It says, here it is again, the third time he mentions helper. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit is all, anytime he comes into your life, he's introducing you to Jesus. He's telling you about Jesus. He's telling you about the teachings of Jesus. He would tell you, what would Jesus do in this situation? All right, he's constantly doing that. Then we'll jump over to John chapter 16, one verse. There it says, there, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper or the Holy Spirit will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. As he was saying, I'm going to send my Spirit to you after I go to heaven. John chapter 16, going on down, verses 12 through 13, and we're going to go back and read verses 8 through 11 here in a little bit on another point. But in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, the reason why I read all those when I went through John 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, and highlighted some scriptures in there, I just want to emphasize this to everyone here, because I don't know how a lot of you grew up or what denomination you might have grown up in or if you've even been to church at all, but the Bible always refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. Please get that. That's why I underline he, him, everywhere in there, helper. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it or a force. And everybody said? Amen. You know, the old King James Version says, a Holy Ghost. Yes. You know, and I'm like, I like spirit better than ghost. I don't know, ghost just kind of scares me a little bit. But we're not supposed to be scared of God. Amen? All right? You're not supposed to be scared of the Holy Spirit. The only part of the Trinity, I know I tell you guys this a lot, the only part of the Trinity that is here on the planet with us is the Holy Spirit. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is seated at his right hand making intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit is here helping us live the Christian life and be witnesses. And we're going to look more into that here in just a second. Because he's a person, we can know him personally. And I'm going to talk about more about this next week when the Holy Spirit is a person, because he has a mind, a will, and emotions. The Holy Spirit is also, and I love how here's one word I do love how the King James Version translates helper, is it's translated comforter. He's our comforter. Anybody got a comforter on your bed at home? Aren't those nice? That's how the Holy Spirit is with you. He just wants to wrap you up in God's love. Amen? And so, now I just want to go home and take a nap. Yeah, so that's what Sundays are for. But the Greek, here I'm going to give you a little Greek for those Bible scholars out there, all right? Here's a little Greek word for you. The Greek word that's translated helper and comforter, where we get the word helper and comforter from, is the Greek word, because the New Testament is written in Greek, is the Greek word parakletos, or parakletos. Parakletos is, I think, is how you say it in the Greek. And what it means is, para means alongside, and kletos means to come. So basically, the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to send you a helper that's going to come alongside of you to help you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? He's going to not only come alongside you, he's going to be in you to help you as well. All right, here's my 3 points, and here's the first one. And every one of these are, every point is very important. But first one is the Holy Spirit is our helper. Look at somebody and say, he's your helper. Okay, and here is the Holy Spirit helps us in so many ways. He'll help you find the right spouse. If you're praying for a spouse, he'll help you find the right job. He'll help you find the right place to live. He'll help you with all kinds of things, all right, if you allow him to. He wants to help you make the right choices in life. But I'm going to show you the three main, I'd say, ministries of the Holy Spirit to help us in life, okay? And this is in John chapter 16, when I told you we was going to come back to verses 8 through 11. And it says this, It says, and when he has come, he will convict, okay, the Holy Spirit talking about conviction. And another where we get the word convict is from convinces. Everybody understand that? That's where the word, so I wrote that in there so you can put that in there. He will convince the world of sin. He convinces the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, okay? That's his three ministries. He's going to convict the world, which is us, of sin. He's going to convict us of righteousness, and he's going to convict us of judgment. Now, some of you in here, if you've been in church any length of time, you may have heard this taught, and I'm probably going to blow the socks off of what you've been taught right now. Because the gospel, I want to look at somebody and say, the gospel's good news. Look at somebody and say, the gospel's not bad news. And the gospel's not scary news. Okay, the gospel is always good news. That's what it means. And I'm going to show you this here in just a second. And then he goes on, Jesus goes on in verses 9 through 11 to explain what he just said in verse 8. He said, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, right, which means right standing with God. It doesn't mean right living, even though right living, the Holy Spirit's going to help you live right too. It just means of righteousness, which means right standing with God. Because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And then he says in verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world, which I just want you to know, the ruler of this world at that time was Satan. And he said he's judged. So those are the three ministries. Now, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to take some time and unpack these three main ministries of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Does everybody remember when you got saved? Do you remember when the Holy Spirit convicted you? I do. When he was convincing you that, here's what he was convincing you. He was convincing you that you're a sinner, okay? But he didn't leave it there. He said, but guess what? I got good news. I've got a Savior for you, and his name is Jesus. So the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, but then he introduces you to Jesus, which is your Savior. Isn't that good? All right, so that's his first thing that he does. He convicts us of sin, and the reason why he does that is what Jesus said, because they do not believe in me. So that's the reason why he convicts. Thank God for conviction. Thank God that he convinces us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. I'll never forget the day that happened to me. I was like, I am a sinner, and thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Boom, I was saved. Eternal salvation right there, that day when that happened. The greatest thing that can happen to anybody right there. But then the Holy Spirit goes a little bit further. He don't just leave you high and dry. Amen. I love that about the Holy Spirit, and we'll get back to the third one here in just a second. The second thing that Jesus said, it said, then after you get saved, what he's going to do is he's going to convict you of righteousness. And what that means is right standing with God. And then Jesus said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He's basically saying, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to be praying for you in heaven, interceding for the body of Christ in heaven, praying for each believer in heaven. And he said, but I can't be there, but the Holy Spirit's going to be there convincing you that you're in right standing with God so you can go to God the Father and have a relationship with him. Now, the enemy attacks this because he'll start bringing up your past and all this stuff. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit and not the enemy. And everybody said? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to convince you or convict you that you're righteous. You have right standing with God. Because of what Jesus did. Not because you're living right or anything that you're doing. It's because of what Jesus did. And then when you believe that, you start getting convinced that I am right standing with God. Therefore, I can have a relationship with God the Father. And everybody said? Amen. And then you don't have to go through Pastor Mark to pray to the Father. No. You have your own relationship. When you get convinced of this thing that I'm just telling you, that's good news. That's why Jesus went to the cross so that we could develop that relationship back with the Father. Now here's the third thing, and this is good. The third thing he says, of judgment, because the ruler of this world, which is Satan, is judged. Now let me show you a few other scriptures to back that up. Now is the judgment of this world. Jesus says this in John chapter 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. When was he cast out? When Jesus died on the cross for us. That's where he defeated the enemy. John 14, verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Meaning Jesus was saying, I'm not going to be talking to you guys much longer because I'm doing a battle that you don't even understand right now. He's coming against me, but I'm going to the cross, and he thinks he's got me, but he don't. Man, that's good stuff. I just got chills right there when I just said that. All right, now I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. I love how the Apostle Paul says, it says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, here it is, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's when the enemy was cast out of being the ruler of this world. The only way he's still the ruler of this world is if you allow him to be. It's your choice, okay? Now I'm gonna go a little bit further with this and probably hit. This is where I'm gonna blow your socks off right here, because some of you have some of you in here maybe, and some people watching are maybe going tilt because you were taught this. All right, and it's totally wrong. I'm sorry you were taught this. You need to learn that. You need to learn something new today. And everybody said, "Amen," because I was also taught this. It kept me from approaching God because this is the way I was always told about these verses. The Holy Spirit convicts you that you're a sinner. We all know that, okay? And then He convicts you that you're not living right, and then He convicts you that God is going to judge you and get you. How many of you ever heard it like that? That is not the gospel. Because that's bad news and that's scary news. That's not good news at all. The way that is translated, what Jesus was saying, is the Holy Spirit is going to convict of sin because he knows we need a Savior, which is Jesus. He then convinces us that we are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And then he convinces us that Satan has been judged and has no power over us. That's good news. And that's what you've got to believe. Holy Spirit wants to help you to understand. And if you've got anywhere in those where you don't understand that, you're going to be defeated. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you to be an overcomer. And so you've got to get the Holy Spirit's help to believe all three of those things. Yes, you were a sinner, but you're not a sinner anymore after you get saved. And then you have right standing with God, and the only power that the enemy has over you is only what you allow. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. The Holy Spirit is our friend, and I put in parentheses, and he's not weird. People are weird, okay? And there's some people that are weird, and they're weird without the Holy Spirit, okay? They're just weird. There's some weird people out there. I love what Pastor Robert said in his book, and I was telling, he said this in his book, and I thought, I'm going to share that story. About the Holy Spirit is our friend and he's not weird. Was he grew up, as I said, and I don't want y'all leaving here that because I've been talking about Southern Baptist a lot and all that because I was raised that way too, okay? And I'm not knocking that denomination. Thank God for them. I learned a lot through them. That's where my foundation is at. And I'm a Bapticostal is what somebody called me one time. That's between a Baptist and a Pentecostal. That's not even scriptural. That's just a joke. But Pastor Robert, he was raised, you know, in a Southern Baptist church in a small town, like all of us. And he said, when I was growing up, he said there was two churches that talked about the Holy Spirit where we grew up at. I knew that they talked about the Holy Spirit a lot. And he said, but they had different beliefs and convictions. And he said, here was one of their beliefs for the women. No makeup was one of the churches. They couldn't wear makeup. And then he said, then the other church, the ladies wore too much makeup. Those were the two churches in his town that believed in the Holy Spirit. So he said, I literally grew up believing that if I believe in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to marry an ugly girl. That's what he said. I thought that was so funny. And here's the deal. Many people don't want to learn about the Holy Spirit because they've seen people act weird and misrepresent Him, and I'm sorry about that. Although people can sometimes be weird, the Holy Spirit is not weird. It is Satan's plan to have people it's Satan's plan to have people misunderstand and misrepresent the Holy Spirit. Satan has made people afraid of the Holy Spirit with one gift, and I talked about that last Sunday, and it's tongues. He's taken one out of the nine gifts, he's emphasized that gift, and he's done a very good job of it to make people afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's done a very good job of it. And some denominations even teach that you don't even have the Holy Spirit if you don't have the evidence of speaking in tongues. I hate that word evidence. It's not even scriptural. I believe that there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the difference between the public speaking in tongues and the private. You need to go back and listen to last week's message. And he's done a very good job of convincing the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit is weird with that gift, because some people are weird as well. And what I like to say is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit comes benefits. All right? And you might want to write these down. There's going to be four that I'm going to give you. These are the four benefits of the Holy Spirit, to having the Holy Spirit. Number one is power. And that means he's going to give you the power to live the Christian life, and he's going to give you, and through that power of living the Christian life, you're going to be a powerful witness for him. The second thing is love. All right, these are not in any order. In fact, probably love needs to be first. Love. If you don't have love, you're not from Jesus. Okay? There's a lot of mean Christians out there. All right? Mean religious people. God wants us to walk in love. I'm not talking being a doormat, because there's times we have to stand for truth too, but we need to do everything needs to be done through love. And then he's going to give you fruit. We talked about that in Galatians chapter 5, the nine fruits, different fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you gifts, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit is a benefit to us. He's not weird. He wants to be our friend. He wants to help us in this walk, in this Christian walk. And everybody said, all right, here's the last thing, and this is the title of my message, is the Holy Spirit is God. Some people, and you might be saying, well, duh, Mark, we know that he's God because he's a third person. Y'all do, but there's some people that don't believe that. They believe in God the Father and God the Son, but they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. All right, it takes three. Just like you were created in the image of God, let me say it this way, you're three persons. Your spirit, soul, and body is who you are. All right, now I'm going to go back and read some scriptures that we've already read, but I just want you to see, the reason why I'm going to read them is because I want you to see the Trinity. In verse 16 in John chapter 14, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And I underlined each one. I being Jesus, the Father is Father, and the helper is the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity. Verse 26, I don't see how anybody can read the Word of God and not see the Trinity. But yet there are whole kind of theological persuasions that do not believe in the Trinity. Verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," there they are, "he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." John 15, 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." There's the Trinity again. Luke chapter 3, I'll show you the Trinity again. Luke chapter 3 is when Jesus was baptized, and it says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased.'" There's the Trinity again. And I'm going to show you a scripture. I told you to turn to Acts chapter 5. And I'm going to show you a scripture in Acts chapter 5 where you're definitely going to see that the Holy Spirit is God, okay? In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, this is Ananias and Sapphira, the story about them. It says, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, "But Peter said to Ananias, 'Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was said, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. There it is. Lie to the Holy Spirit, you have not lied to men, but to God. So the Holy Spirit is God. Everybody see that? Acts chapter 5, they both died in church and they carried them out. And I was like, there's a way to get giving up in church. That's a joke, by the way, okay? But the reason why is because they lied to God. Now, whenever I was preparing this, I felt this really strongly in my spirit, and I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm not going to, because, you know, when I'm preparing messages, this is what I do. I stay open to the Lord about, because I don't know who's going to be at church on Sunday. And I pray this all the time. God, I want your gifts to flow through me. Whatever's needed that day for whoever's there. And this is the way you ought to approach life. Just being around your family, friends, some of you are going to family reunions. Just say, Holy Spirit, just use me. You know, it just may be because you smiled at somebody in your family at a family reunion. They love me. Yeah. Just smiling. The Lord can use you in all kinds of ways. And that's love, by the way. But as I was praying about this, I felt this is what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me through this passage, is that there was going to be at least one person here, if not many, I shouldn't say many, but a few here that struggle with lying. You're a Christian, but you struggle with lying. Boy, it's got real quiet in here all of a sudden. And I'm not going to say come up to the front, and then everybody's going to say liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, and we're not going to do that. Okay, because a white lie is a lie. You know, we try to say, oh, it wasn't just a black lie; it was a white lie. Okay, well, now we're getting racist with our lies, right? You struggle with this, and this is what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me. And it's because, and you're a believer, and you know Jesus, but you struggle with lying, and you struggle to the line to the point where it would be better to tell the truth, but you still lie. And you've even prayed and asked God, what's causing this? I'm just here to tell you that you've probably got an iniquity in your family where it might have started 3 or 4 generations ago. With your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents that you don't even know about, and you just have a bent in your family towards lying, okay? And what the Holy Spirit's wanting to tell you today is the Spirit of Truth wants to come in your life and help straighten up that tree, your generational tree, because your tree is bent towards lying. Everybody's really quiet in here. And the Holy Spirit wants to come in, and He wants to help you. He wants to be your friend, and he wants you to help you straighten up your family tree to stop the lying. Because here's the reason why. Whenever you study the Word, there are things, and this is a whole other teaching that I could do, but there are things that we can do to grieve the Holy Spirit. And one of them is lying, because he is the Spirit of Truth. And if you're given to lying, you're grieving him from blessing you, because he can't bless somebody that lies all the time. And if you just tell the truth, guess what the truth does? The truth sets you free. And everybody said, amen. So if you have trouble in this area, just start asking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I know you're my helper. I know you're my friend. And I know I got a problem with this. I have a problem with lying, even when it's better to tell the truth. I just lie. Everything that comes out of my mouth is a lie. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? I want to come in. I want to be your friend. I want to be your helper. And I want to straighten that up. But you got to make the choice to let him come in and do that. And everybody said, I don't know who that's for, but I know by the Spirit of God that that's for somebody today. And if you'll just, and I'm not going to say raise your hand and come up front, okay? I'm not going to do that. You just need to hear that word from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves you. God loves you, and he wants you to help you to stop lying. And everybody said, because lies don't just hurt you, they hurt everybody around you and the people that you love. Pastor Robert's story, going back to Pastor Robert, another story that he shared in his book, was when he went to seminary to study for ministry, his pastor told him, be careful of those who talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay, he was going to seminary to study to be in the ministry, and instead of his pastor like giving him a Bible to study or telling him to study hard or, you know, be sure and study this book of the Bible or whatever, or pray, you know, hey, I'll be praying for you. He tells Pastor Robert, he said, be careful of those who talk about the Holy Spirit. Goes back to what I was talking about holy, you know, some people being weird, is, and I just want you to stop and think about this. He told a disciple that was in his ministry, this pastor that was going to seminary, this is basically what he said, be careful of those who talk about God. I just want you to let that sink in for a little bit. That's how sick, twisted, and messed up that Satan has got this whole thing about the Holy Spirit. It's bad. And that's what I've been trying to do through this series, is to stop it and introduce you to the Holy Spirit, who he really is, the God we never knew, okay? And God, the Holy Spirit, is here. He wants to help you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give all those benefits to you, the power, the love, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to do all of that for you, all right? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the ministry. He wants to convict you of sin so that you'll come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He wants to convict you of righteousness so that you know that you're in right standing with God. He also wants to convict you that Satan has already been judged at the cross 2,000 years ago. And he wants you to start living as an overcomer, and he wants to help you to do that. That's pretty much the summary of my message right there, and we say amen and go home, right? But that's the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to help you with. He is so good. And so I already said my takeaways. Today's takeaways: the Holy Spirit is our helper and our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our friend, and he's not weird. The Holy Spirit is God. And I appreciate this. Last Sunday, I'm going to be honest with you. Last Sunday, I taught on tongues. And I encourage you all to go back and listen to that message. I taught on it, and we had a few people come up for the altar call. And see, my vision was that I'm going to have the whole altar full of people, you know. And I go home discouraged. I was like, I even went home blamed on the prayer partners. I was like, prayer partners didn't come forward when I told them to come up here. I'm just being honest in the house of God, okay? They didn't. You know, and the Lord, you know, kind of got on to me about it, and Jada was encouraging me too. But I was discouraged, I'll just be honest with you. And Tim Bradley called me, and I talked to him on Monday, and he just told me, he said, brother, I just want to encourage you today. He tried to call me on Sunday, and we had something going on, and I wasn't able to answer the phone, and I called him back on Monday, and he just said, I just want to encourage you that, man, you're laying an awesome foundation for people to understand who the Holy Spirit really is. And I said, brother, I said, man, you don't know how much that encourages me. And I told him, I said, I came home discouraged yesterday because I just thought the whole altar was going to be full of people getting baptized. I was praying. I was like, this day of Pentecost, man, we're going to hear the wind. It's just going to happen in here, you know, and we did. There was one person that I heard it, you know, that they'd received, and Gary came up forward. I know he's received it, you know, but this is something individual too, all right? But something that Tim said that goes with today's message, we went on, we were talking about it, and I was just telling him, thanks for calling me, encouraging me, because I really needed to hear that. And he goes, Mark, I cannot tell you how the Holy Spirit has helped me in my life. He said, you know, I've been walking with God for so many years. He goes, and here, you know, recently, you know, my brother passed away. He said, man, brother, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit to help me through that time, he goes, I believe in getting counsel and all those things. But he said, man, the Holy Spirit was my helper. The Holy Spirit was my friend. The Holy Spirit was my comforter and to get me through that dark time. And I was like, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We live in a fallen world. You know, Betty was telling me before church, you know, Betty, I've been there too. You know, you have those weeks where you're just in the funk, not the funky bunch, but just, you know, you're just in the, depression, just that's the Holy Spirit wants to help you and encourage you to get through those kind of times, you know, circumstances that are going on and everything. The Holy Spirit is awesome, and everybody said, all right, and I just, my prayer for all of us today, and I'm going to pray over us, is I want every one of you to develop your own relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can't do it through somebody else. You can't go up to somebody else and say, you know, don't come up to me and say, Pastor Mark, you got a word for me. No, the Holy Spirit's got a word for you. You go talk to Him, all right? And I just want you to start developing. I pray that you're getting a thirst and a hunger for developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, and He's here with us, and He's in us. Right, I'm going to pray this over all of us today. Father, we thank You and we praise You for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we recognize that He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the person of the Trinity that is here on the planet Earth with us. If we know You, He is not only in us, but He is with us as well. He is God with us. Thank You for sending us a comforter and a helper when we go through trials and tribulations, because God, You knew, Jesus knew, that we live in a fallen world. Even though that Satan has already been judged at the cross, we still live in a fallen world. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're here to comfort us, to help us, and to be our friend. And we thank You for that, Father. Help us to cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we desire that relationship with You, because we know that You're the third person of the Trinity that's here with us, and that You are God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. I also want to just say, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may be sitting here today and the Holy Spirit was doing what he does best, and He was convicting you or convincing you that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. And so I want to have the honor and the privilege of leading you in this prayer, and it's called the Prayer of Salvation. I'm going to help you call upon the name of the Lord. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You are the Son of God, and You died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear Your voice. I accept You as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me. And everybody said, amen. God is good. And all the time, and the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. All right, at this time, we're going to do something fun. I always love doing this as a pastor, is when it's Baby Dedication Sunday for a precious little baby girl named Leilani. So Mary and Josh, I want you to come up here with Leilani. In fact, I want the whole family to come up here. I know you got the whole family there with you. And after we pray for Leilani and dedicate her to the Lord, we're going to have all of our campers and sponsors come up here to the front, and we're going to pray over them as well. Isn't she beautiful? She is a miracle baby. And she's the one that we've been praying for, and she's got a complete bill of health, right? Yeah, that's awesome. God is so good. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Got the whole family here. And so we're going to give her a little Lamb of God to Mama. You betcha. I want to go ahead and give this to you. And then I'm going to go ahead and give you this dedication ceremony too. But I'm also going to give you this that you can, it's a baby dedication certificate that you can put up in her little nursery, in her little bedroom. And, we're here today to celebrate and rejoice with Josh and Mary as they dedicate their baby to the Lord, baby Leilani, and with the whole family. Good-looking family. I'm so glad this family moved here from Balco. Amen. And in Luke 2, verse 22, it says, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So this is a very precious moment as you present Leilani to the Lord. You're coming into connection with God's will for her life. So I've got a charge to Josh and Mary. Uh-oh, she's acting like Josh now. I got a charge to Josh and Mary. Do you promise in the presence of the Lord, your family and your friends and your church family, to do your best to raise Leilani in the love of the Lord, to train her up in the way that she should go so she will come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Amen. So here's a charge to the church family. So it takes a village to raise kids. Do you family, friends, and members of Harvest Fellowship Church promise to commit your time, resources, and prayer to help these parents raise Leilani in such a way that will come into a that she'll come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and grow to desire to love and serve God? If so, say, we do. Amen. Okay, so in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it says, Jesus took the children up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. So do you think she'll let me hold her for just a second?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're fixing to find out, ain't we? Hi, Leilani. Look, you there. You're just quiet now. That's what you needed. You need Pastor Mark told you, not your daddy. All right, I want you to stretch forth your hands towards Leilani, and we're going to pray over her. Father, we stand in awe of your creation of Leilani. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above, and that the fruit of the womb is your reward. We know that you have great plans for Leilani. They are plans to prosper her and to give her hope and a future. We excitedly anticipate watching those plans unfold as she grows up. Father, thank you for Josh and Mary and for their family that's up here today. We pray that you will bless them as they create an environment of love that will enable Leilani to become all you created her to be. Lord, give them your wisdom in raising Leilani. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. She saw mama and she's wanting mama. All right, she is blessed and dedicated. Give this family another big hand clap. You betcha. Here you go, guys. I'm going to give you that, too, so you can stick that. You betcha. Love you guys. Amen. I was trying to keep her from seeing mama, but when she saw mama, she wanted mama. Amen. Love that. All right, let's have all of our campers come up here. Sponsors, bus drivers, Tony, come on up here. Give Tony a big hand clap. Thank God for Tony. I was going to say, be sure and tell, y'all come up here and sit on the stage so we can show you off. Yeah, we got 19 going and two sponsors. Awesome. And we got Josh going, and say your name again. Do what? Bea, Pastor Mark. Bea, Pastor Mark. I always want to call her Bailey for some reason. I know it's not Bailey. It's Bea. And you're part of Mary's family, right? Right, yeah. Yeah, cousin. And so you'd went to camp, when was it, sir? Last year. Well, yeah, you went last year, but before that you'd went one time, right? To a youth deal? Yeah, youth conference. And that's where you was like, man, I want to help y'all's church serve and be a sponsor. So we want to thank you for doing that, Bea. Awesome. So these guys are going to go have fun at camp, and I love our camp because Edge Youth Camp, Pastor Cody Anderson up at Faith Center Fellowship, they put it on every summer at Camp Victory. They do an awesome job, but they have fun at camp. They have lots of fun. That's a great camp. But they also meet new friends, new believers in Christ from other schools that they all stay connected with. And in fact, my daughter met her future husband at camp, so that could happen, guys, okay? everybody's going, I hear parents behind me going, no, not yet. Yeah, every one of them are too young for that. Okay, so just go to camp, have fun, and learn about Jesus, all right? And get close to the Lord. But what I love about it is they got to go and, you know, they stay 6 foot apart is what Tony said. Yeah, there you go. But they're going to have fun and learn about Jesus and get closer to the Lord. And I love when these, and we're going to hear some camp testimonies when they come back. So I want you to stretch forth your hands over our campers and over our sponsors and bus driver, and we're going to pray over all of them today. Father, we thank you for our kids. We thank you for our youth. God, this is not just the church of tomorrow. This is the church of today. God, I thank you for Pastor Cody and his team and Edge Youth Camp and all that they do to prepare for this, the prayer that goes into it, just all the work that goes into it, God. And I thank you for that, their ministry and them doing it. And God, I thank you for what happens in our youth when they go, because they have fun and they learn about Jesus and they come home with that encounter with the Lord and they have a relationship with him. And we thank you for that. And God, I just pray blessings over each camper, that they have fun. God, I know you're going to speak to each one. I pray that they would listen to what the Holy Spirit is going to tell them this week at camp. And we just pray blessings over them and over their families. God, we thank you so much for Tony, for being our bus driver. God, we thank you so much for our school system here and Rusty and Danielson, Darren Danielson, Rusty Puffenberger, and our school board, all of our administration, that we're able to use the school bus to take our campers. God, we pray blessings over our school. God, we thank you so much for Josh and for Bea going as sponsors, and we just pray that they're going to have fun as well and draw closer to you. And just thank you for the relationships that are going to be built, not only with you, Lord, but with one another in these campers. And so, God, we bless them. We pray your angels about them as they travel today. God, I thank you for everyone that had packed a sack lunch for them today and all the snacks that they're going on the bus with. And I just pray that they're going to have a great time on the bus. And, God, we just thank you and praise you that your hedge protection's about them, and they're going to have a great week at camp, and we bless them today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great camp, all right? And while you all are sitting up here, I want everybody to stand up in here. You kids can stand up too. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you today, okay? As we go out today, we're going to go ahead and dismiss because we're going to get on the road and head to camp. But I'm going to speak this blessing over you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You guys have a great week. Have a great week at camp, guys. Hug somebody's neck and say, the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. God bless you guys. Good grief, girl. You're getting so big.